WKTY Morning Show back on air, 96.7 FM, 580 AM. Thank you guys and gals so very much for making us a part of your day. The Stone Distribution talk and text line is, as I've mentioned multiple times this morning, just going crazy. If you want to join us in the show, 608-796-2558 is the number. Our sports betting insider, John Denton, is joining us. John, top of the morning. How you doing on a Thursday, big guy?
Dave, we're good. Looking forward to a good weekend. Got a kid running in a track meet at the University of Nebraska. So heading up to the old land of Lincoln. And, yeah, looking for a good weekend of betting some college basketball, transitioning to the hoops game.
That sounds like a lot of fun. John, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, the land of Lincoln and that that track meet that you've got coming up. I was asked by a couple of people within the last week, and I can't recall exactly where I was or who asked me, but they were asking about your location in Iowa. And I said, well, I feel like he's pretty close to Omaha. So it's the Iowa side of where Iowa and Nebraska would kind of split off, right? I mean, that's the general region.
Yes, absolutely. Southwest Iowa, the Missouri River technically splits Iowa and Nebraska, I would say, kind of splits right down the middle of Iowa and Nebraska. So I live on the Iowa side of the Missouri River, but
there you
it's
go.
So much cooler to say, I live near Omaha than
yes.
it is to say,
why
I live in
that?
Iowa.
I know, why is that? I mean, is there, because you wouldn't really think that that was much cooler, but there really is kind of a cachet to saying, yeah, I live near Omaha.
Sure. I'm not sure. I've done a little A-B testing when I first got here in a business sense to say, hey, I'm right. from Iowa. And they go, eh.
Okay.
And I say, oh, I'm from Omaha. They go, oh, Omaha. That's
there
pretty
you
good
go. Big insurance companies out there, the Mutual of Omaha. See, that's where I think it all comes
right.
back to. John, when we were kids, I mean, we had four television channels, and on Sunday nights, you'd get the Mutual of Omaha's like Wild Animal Kingdom. So, all right, well, there we go. We've solved all of this. John, I'm looking forward to solving some betting boredom with you coming up this morning, because we've got no NFL action. The USFL is still a couple of months away from kicking off, which I'm interested in. The NBA, it's hanging out there, but it's a tough thing to bet on. And the NHL, I don't know. I've got no interest in betting that. So it really kind of comes to college basketball. Now, before the end of the NFL season, John, you had sort of identified with us a few college conferences that you were going to pay more particular attention to than others. And those, if I'm recalling correct, the Pac-12, the Mountain West, and the Atlantic 10. John, those were three conferences that you were taking some special looks at. This morning, you've got a few different college basketball plays for us. But something else I'm curious to get your thoughts on is this. I wrote an article earlier this week about the top 10 Super Bowl favorites for Super Bowl 57 and which team I don't think will even make the postseason. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Before we do, though, let's talk some college hoops, man. What are you identifying for our listeners that we could possibly put together in a John Denton special today?
Yeah, those three conferences that I talked about taking a look at the beginning of the season were, you know, unfortunately, when I come on Thursdays, two of those conferences don't play until Friday night and then Saturday on the weekend. So they've already played on Wednesday. They don't play till Saturday. So it leaves us with kind of the Pac-12 and the Mountain West Conference to kind of pick through with on the Thursday shows. But I kind of ventured out a little bit into some other conferences this week, just some bets that I already made this morning. And the first play I'll make is going into the Pac-12 conference. You're looking at Washington travels down to L.A. play USC. Now, you're looking at an over-under of about 139 right here, and I'm playing the over 139 in this game. And there's just some reasons why. I think UW over the last 6 to 8 games has really transitioned into an up-tempo, really up-tempo offense. They're 36th in the country in pace. What's even more astonishing is that they play better on the road than they do at home, and they're giving up 16.5 more points per game on the road than they are at home. So they shoot the three ball better at home or on the road, excuse me. They allow 36% three-point shooting for the other team on the road. And when you look at how USC, not a very good free throw shooting team, they take the ball, they take care of the ball, but they're 337th in takeaways, right? So they don't create turnovers. I really think Washington and USC over 139 is my first play. It's a good solid bet tonight.
All right, Washington, USC over 139. I like this too. USC, now they've still got, it's not Evan Mobley because he plays with the Cavs now, but they've still got his twin brother that plays out there. This kid will be a top 10 draft pick, I believe, too.
Yes, he was, again, just a little bit underdeveloped when he came along with his brother last year, and his brother, I guess, was a, you know, just a step ahead of him in the skill category. But he's made it up this year. He's a good player inside. USC is a god-awful free throw shooting team, which again may come into play on the over-under here if they start to play you know hack-a-shack type ball on the Washington side. But I just think Washington, they have the number, I think he's the number six or number seven scorer in the country right now, a guy named Terrell Brown, averaging 22 points a game. So I just think they can get buckets. USC's defense isn't very good at taking the ball away, so there's going to be a lot of points in this game.
So I like that. That's our first play, college basketball. Washington, USC, over 139. And again, for those that have not yet signed up, go to betus.com.pa, plug in the promo code WKTY, and claim that 125% deposit match. All right, what do you got for us next, JD?
All right, next one is we're going to go to the Ohio Valley Conference. Murray State taking on Austin Peay. Found a great stat online for some trends that
Murray
pretty
State's good
sample size. Yeah, playing good. I think they're second in their conference. They're playing, unfortunately, they play in the same conference as Belmont, which is another mid-major kind of king right now. But Murray State, 30-13-1 against the spread for conference opponents with an assist-to-turnover ratio less than one. So they play Austin Peay tonight. They're minus 19, heavy favorite. There's a reason why. Austin Peay has a 0.90 assist-to-turnover ratio. So that falls into this angle. I'm willing to lay the spread with Murray State minus 19 to blow out Austin Peay.
Okay, it is a big number, but Murray State, I've even been taking note of them so far this year in college basketball. John, as a matter of fact, I wanted to say that Murray State made it into the AP Top 25 poll this last Monday, if I'm not recalling incorrectly. Is that true? Are they sitting there at like number 23 or 22?
I think they just cracked the top 25, for sure. And they're the top 3-point shooting team in the Ohio Valley Conference, second in percentage wise. So, like I said, I think they're due for. They've had a couple close games recently, and I think that's just kind of getting bored with some teams. I think they come out and lay the wood to Austin Peay tonight.
I like that. I like that quite a bit. All right, so we've got Washington USC over 139. I'm repeating this for Rick the Silver Fox, who jots all of this down on his whiteboard in his kitchen. Then we've got Murray State minus 19 versus Austin Peay. All right, what do you got for us next?
All right, we're going to head to Wichita State at Cincinnati.
Ooh, okay.
These are two, I think it's the American Athletic Conference is what it is. I know it's the AAC, but the American Athletic Conference. Wichita State's won, I think, three of their last four games, just took down South Florida. Cincinnati's lost three of their last four and just fell to Memphis 81-74, so they failed to cover as home dogs. This line opened up with Cincinnati listed as a short 2-point home favorite. So the public was really quick to grab the points with Wichita State when you look at the money, the percentage of money that's laid on this game.
Yeah.
Yet the line has stayed at 2, or even maybe has creeped to 2.5 in some places.
Really?
So this means to me that there's some big money on Cincinnati tonight from the pros. So
right.
I'm taking Cincinnati minus 2.5. I think they win by about 5 or 6 tonight.
You know, it's interesting. John's talking about the flow of money. And, John, I know that we've got listeners here that are you know, dipping their toe into the world of sports betting. Sometimes they might have one of our conversations go a bit over their head. So I want to just touch on this. What John is looking at, and you can go to a number of different websites. I use VSIN.com to see where the money is flowing. What John's talking about, when we see no line movement, but we see a lot of folks piling money into a certain team like Wichita State plus the points, it means there are sharp bettors out there, the ones that really can affect the market because of how they bet and the fact that the sports books know who they are and how they bet. There are sharps out there that feel so confident about Cincinnati minus those points. John, even if a public, avalanche comes in on Wichita State, the book's holding steady, meaning they know something that we don't. And that's why you're saying Cincinnati minus 2.5, which I love.
Yeah, when the line usually moves against the public, the public's outcry or where the public's going with it, right? That usually tends to mean that the public's betting either on parlays or they're betting less money. They're just betting, there's just more of the public than there are sharp bettors. Those sharp bettors, though, bet, $20K, $40K, $50K a game. Those amounts move the lines or catch the eyes of the bookmakers a lot closer than somebody laying a $10 three-team parlay with Cincinnati in it. So,
you're right. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and the other thing is, too, John, we're talking about, making these big bets and sharp bettors versus public bettors. you know, oftentimes these things, when it comes to the games and how they get, you know, really worked out as far as an odd is concerned, you know, these games come down to just, you know, I mean, information statistics that are piled together. But the books know who these sharps are, right? There's really no hiding from many of these, you know, bookmakers. And if they see money coming in from this guy or that, you know, lady over here who is a sharp bettor, they know what time it is, and then they adjust. So when you see something like this not get adjusted, I guess what I'm saying is that the book feels real confident. Cincinnati -2.5 is the play there. So, you know, we'll see. We've got these three plays out there. College basketball, though, John, we're coming into a really fun time for college basketball. I mean, Tuesday, I think this last Tuesday, we could have called it Super Tuesday in college hoops. There were so many great games out there. You know, what is your most, when you think of college basketball, what is your favorite part of betting college basketball? Is it regular season? Is it conference tournament time? Is it the NCAA tournament? Where are you at with betting college basketball as far as your favorite part of the season to bet?
Favorite part of the season to bet would be NCAA tournament. Or maybe, you know, the conference tournaments leading up to the NCAA tournaments, because that's when you start to, that's when you really want to start analyzing which teams are making it to the tournament, kind of catching them a couple games before the tournament, seeing how they play, and also checking some of your, you know, some of your trends and tendencies and all that stuff kind of before you get into March Madness. That's my favorite part. But what I've started to like over the last, I would say maybe two seasons or so in college basketball, and this is more so in the NBA for me too, because I don't really bet NBA too much, but in-game betting, right? Understanding what the line is, where it started at.
Yeah.
Giving myself an idea, hey, I like this side, waiting till the game starts, letting it get in about 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then seeing where that line has been adjusted on my app that I'm using and making a play there. And I've had some more success with that recently just because, you know, you start following people that are specializing in those in-game sessions, right? And again, it's just about diversifying your knowledge base, right? And if you follow the same people, the same with the same trends and analysis, a lot of times you don't get out of that box a little bit. So
right,
you just
right.
It's about finding people that are insiders, specifically honing in on that in-game portion of sports betting. And I find that a little bit more easier to bet too than
sure.
just trying to find a line and pick. So.
Well, and listen, as we're talking about, you know, folks to follow and folks to trust, who do you trust? John Denton and I both of us use a website on a regular basis, and that is wagertalk.com. So if you go to wagertalk.com,
yeah.
you can find a number of experts in these different fields that John is sort of mentioning here. There's even those that pay specific attention to offshore sports, like, you know, Bungaliza soccer and I don't know. You know, I mean,
Korean baseball,
there you
all
go.
This stuff. Yeah, I mean, there's so much money to be made out there on sports wagering that these guys haven't covered. You said Wager Talk hasn't covered. I mean, there's multiple other ones, but Wager Talk in specifically gives you free information. Like, just follow them on social media. They
yeah,
give you
exactly.
guides, and if it's not, it costs you $9 to get like the the March Madness guide that's like 400 pages. I mean, it's like it's so much. If you can't invest $9 to learn something and help yourself in sports betting, it probably shouldn't sports bet.
Yeah, I tend to agree with your assessment there. If $9 is something that you're really sweating, do not gamble. That's just for me to you. Don't gamble if you've got $9. It seems like your life is already enough of a gamble. John, let me transition with you just a little bit here. Our sports betting insider, played college football, played in the NFL. Super Bowl 56 all wrapped up. Rams win 23-20. We've already covered that. Super Bowl 57. I started to take a look at Super Bowl 57 from the early, early odds perspective this week. And, John, one of my articles that our listeners can find again today, the John Denton Special 1 p.m. on our website, you know, dealt with the Super Bowl 57 favorites, the top 10 favorites, and one team at least that I didn't think would even make the postseason. There could be even more than one team, maybe two or three, that don't make the postseason that are considered favorites, at least in the top 10. Now, I circled the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the team that I did not think would make the postseason. No Tom Brady. Question marks about Bruce Arians. We don't know exactly what's happening with all of the players that they re-signed last year. So I circled the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, you tended to agree with that, but you've also got a couple of other teams that are in the top 10 odds anyways that you think might not make the postseason.
Yeah, I don't know if I say I disagree with what you say about the Tampa Bay pick, but now that I think about it a little more, you know, Jason Light, the GM, I think they got too much talent on the team to let you know, the quarterback position go by the wayside. I think you're going to see them make a big move, even if Tom Brady doesn't come back. I think you'll see him retain some of that, you know, the Chris Godwin type folks. So I they play in kind of a dud of a conference.
They do, and the division's soft. I give you that.
Yeah. So I'm kind of 50-50 on that. But I'll tell you two that I'm pinpointing is one is the Denver Broncos. Again, the only way they've got a shot at making the playoffs next year, in my opinion, in that division is if they trade for your Aaron Rodgers, or I should say Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers.
So okay.
That's the only way I think Denver makes those playoffs, even though they've got a pretty decent defense. Yeah. So the other one I think here, and this might shock some folks, Cincinnati Bengals.
Really?
If they've got some really, even though they've made it to the pinnacle, they got to the top of the mountain this year, or, you know, close to the top of the mountain. You know, they had a pretty fortunate ride in the playoffs. And when you really peel back the onion, like I told you the other day that we do, right, they were very fortunate in some situations to make it as far as they did. We'll just say that first off. But they've got one of the worst offensive lines in the game. They've got a lot of stuff to shore up on the defensive front. So Cincinnati Bengals playing in with the Ravens, you know, Baltimore.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh. You know, and so I just think you know, they've got the toughest road to make the playoffs next year in that top 10.
You know.